Halloween at Eden House. The Stannock in St. Ives. It translates from Cornish as the place of tin, and in those days it was very, very different to how it appears today. A steeply wooded valley with a rough road going up the middle, a few miners' cottages, and one large house, Eden House. And it was here that the former tin mine owner, Captain Thomas Trewick, lived with his young housekeeper. It was night. It was the 31st of October. It was Halloween. A night when the veil between our world and the shadowlands beyond is very thin and easily crossed by the spirits of the night. In St. Ives, it was also known as Allantide, a night where the young girls of the town went to sleep with an apple under their pillows to dream of their future loves. And that is precisely what Trewick's young housekeeper was doing up in her attic room. Was sitting alone in the parlour, pipe in hand, puffing away, watching the flames dance in the fireplace, was Thomas Trewick. As the grandfather clock struck the midnight hour, Trewick heard a noise outside. It was the approach of horses' hooves and the rumbling of wheels coming up the Stannock. A wry smile passed his lips. There would only be one group of people out at this time of night. Smugglers. And hadn't he himself enjoyed plenty of smuggled French brandy over the years? But the smile changed to a confused frown when he heard the hoofbeats slow and come to a standstill on the Stannock right outside his house. Strange, he thought to himself. Who can it be? He was in half a mind to ring the servant's bell to get the housekeeper to investigate, but, well, due to the lateness of the hour, he decided to do it himself. And yet, as he hauled himself out of his chair, this strange sense of unease passes over him, which only heightens as he walks across the parlour, into the hall, and up to the front door. He opens it a few inches. "Who's there?" he calls out. Only darkness and silence. "Who's there?" Some strange power draws him outside. It makes him leave the sanctuary of his house. It makes him walk across the porch and onto his drive towards the Stannock. But with each step, he can feel this cold seeping into his bones, the like of which in all his long years he's never known before. He stops at the end of his drive. His ears had not deceived him, but his eyes. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. Two black horses pulling a hearse, and by the guttering lantern on its side, he could see it was carrying a coffin with the lid removed. His heart started to pound. A voice in his head said, go back inside. And yet, he moved one step closer. He knew there was a body inside that coffin. And yet, he moved another step closer. He knew, somehow he knew whose body it would be. And yet, he inched forward until he was standing right next to the hearse. And slowly, going up on his tiptoes to look inside. He fell to the ground, his heart hammering, his body quivering with fear, his eyes shut against the sight he had just seen. No! No! And yet, he could still see it through his closed eyes. A pallid, white face lying there, sunken cheeks, stiff, eyes covered with coins, a face he had known all his life, his own. Time seemed to implode upon itself. Seconds, a minute, an hour. Eventually, when he opens his eyes, he's alone, lying on the Stannock outside his house. No horses, no hearse, no coffin, no No corpse. He staggers back to Eden House, his body exhausted, his heart still beating like a drum. He rings the servant's bell and collapses back into his chair. After several minutes, the housekeeper comes downstairs, whereupon Trewick begins to spout forth like one who is possessed about what he'd seen, my body in a coffin outside. The housekeeper, scarce able to make sense of his words, until he was calm enough to sip a large glass of brandy before seeming to fall asleep in his chair, where the housekeeper leaves him, before returning back to her bed, back to her dreams. The next morning, the housekeeper finds him still there, slumped in the chair, his lifeless body, his open eyes staring blankly into space, a look of horror etched over his face, a look that those that saw never forgot. He was buried a few days later in Barnoon Cemetery in St. Ives, the gravestone still visible to this day with the date of his death, the 1st of November, 1879. So be warned, for if a black hearse comes for you in the night, as it will, remember, remember, it does not return empty.